WHD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire,
and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Christopher Cruz. Auto workers have walked off the job at some factories after the big three automakers refused their demands for more pay.
Everything doubled in prices and inflation, and it's like we have to work 60, 70 hours a week just to pay our bills and feed our family.
The strike is having knock-on effects.
Ford announced some temporary layoffs due to the strike, and GM says it'll likely have to idle a Kansas plant Monday. Moves UAW President Sean Fain says are designed to make workers settle for less.
It boils down to one thing. It's corporate greed. It's got to stop.
Fain says the strike could expand to additional plants as negotiations continue. Chris Van Cleve, CBS News, Toledo, Ohio.
When President Biden meets with other world leaders this week at the annual U.N. General Assembly, he'll have a lot to talk about, says National Security Advisor Jake Sullivan.
He's eager to use this trip to advance U.S. interests and values on a range of issues, from mobilizing financial resources for the Global South, to galvanizing cooperation to tackle the climate crisis, to strengthening global support for Ukraine's sovereignty and territorial integrity as it defends itself against Russia's brutal invasion.
Would Donald Trump send American troops to defend Taiwan against a Chinese invasion?
I won't say, because if I said, I'm giving away, you know, only stupid people are going to give that answer. I heard the other day DeSanctimonious said something about he was going to do this or he was going to do that. I say, well, why is he saying the strategy? You can't say that.
Trump spoke on NBC. Hardy Mainers are in recovery mode after deadly Storm Lee lashed the state, leaving tens of thousands of customers without power. More from WABI-TV reporter Brian Sullivan in Bar Harbor.
On a dark afternoon, Holden's Ethan LaPlante seeing the bright side of things.
You lost power at home?
Oh, yeah. No big deal.
Used to it.
Whatever. At least it's warm.
It's a devastating scene in a city in eastern Libya after flooding this week. The BBC's Anna Foster is there.
Here in the center of Derna, the destruction is total. And when you look down this valley at an area that used to be filled with apartment buildings, homes, cars, thousands of people with lives that have all been picked up and swept out to sea, you wonder how a city like this can ever recover.
The state of California has sued some of the world's largest oil and gas companies, claiming they deceived the public about the effects of fossil fuels on the climate. The state wants the companies to pay billions of dollars to help it deal with the effects of climate change-related storms and wildfires. Officials say ExxonMobil, Shell, Chevron, and other energy companies have lied about the danger of fossil fuels for decades. This is CBS News.
You need to hire fast and hire right? You need Indeed. Their all-in-one hiring platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates efficiently. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
You missed your favorite show? It's easy to find it wherever you listen to podcasts. Apple, Google, or civicmedia.us.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The U.S. House is running out of time to pass spending bills in time to avoid a government shutdown. As Mike Moan reports, advocates are worried about how a shutdown could hurt kids and young adults in Wisconsin.
House Republicans had floated ideas such as slashing funding for the Supplemental Nutrition Program for women, infants, and children. Dahi Wolf with the Wisconsin group Kids Forward says the proposed cuts could lead to 71,000 eligible participants in Wisconsin being denied WIC benefits. He warns about creating negative outcomes for these individuals.
Every step of the way, obviously, kids and families need support, but if we don't do it early, then we pay for it later.
He notes that these budget concerns come as Wisconsin families brace for child care funding woes at the state level. Governor Tony Evers has scheduled a special session in hopes of making permanent a pandemic-related subsidy program. State Republicans recently voted to let it expire. In Washington, Freedom Caucus members say they want tighter spending after feeling ignored in the recent debt ceiling debate. Wolf says other spending proposals would result in 1,000 Wisconsin preschoolers losing access to Head Start and 1,400 young people being left out of job training programs. He says households that rely on these programs don't need any more barriers being put in their way.
These are all working people in our state that are working poor because we've refused to raise the minimum wage. We've refused to, you know, come up with jobs that pay a living wage and to support, you know, families and children.
Congress needs to adopt a new spending plan by October 1st to avoid a government shutdown. With deep divisions still in place, including among moderate Republicans and far-right members, there's growing concern a deal won't be reached in time. This is Mike Moen for Wisconsin News Connection.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
Sometimes I just cannot believe all the storms we've gone through here.
I can only hope that we'll be able to leave this house to you one day, baby. You're our legacy.
Planning for these disasters will make sure we're safe and is the best way to protect that legacy.
Protect your legacy. Visit ready.gov/plan for the tools and tips you need to start your emergency preparedness plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to broke everything else.
Mother, Mother Ocean.
What is up, Wisconsin? You're listening to Raised in Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Unfortunately, Danielle Fearman, she's still moving earth out there, so she's not going to be able to join us today. But I did tell her that if she can't make it to the show, she better get out there and scout those geese because the early season's coming to an end here on Saturday. You know, I thought we'd all take a moment and salute Jimmy Buffett, who passed this past week. To all the parrot heads out there, we're going to play his music throughout the show. I have to tell you, I am so excited about Wisconsin in the fall, and we're finally getting some of that fall weather to come in, which just makes everything all right. You got, you know, you hear me talk about the Kennedy clan, my five loyal listeners out in Oconomowoc. I want to tell you, Robin Kennedy was in Washington, D.C. this week, and just when you start losing faith as to what's going on in the nation's capital, I hear a story like this. They went out there with some of the folks from the A-Team and from Opportunities, some of the folks from the Disabilities Work Center, and they got to meet with Congress people from Wisconsin, and the actual sitting members of Congress took time out of their day to meet with Robin and members of the A-Team out there, and it was really moving to see the pictures and the videos. I had Congressman Fitzgerald, who I have to mention, who's one of my heroes, great guy, literally sent me pictures of his meeting with them. So big appreciation. And now, you know, the Kennedy family is what I use as the quintessential example of how to get somebody into the outdoors. Not more than a year ago, nobody in the Kennedy family was a hunter. And now one of her sons, Aiden, is a regular turkey hunter with me. And her other son is just bought his first bow from Buck Rub Outfitters in Waukesha, which is really exciting. Anything going on? Did you have an exciting week, Anastasia?
I had a very exciting week, but not at all outdoors. I've just been here and editing. I heard it was nice out at some point, but...
But you had to see it through the glass, through the fishbowl here.
Yep.
But I have to tell you, if you don't watch the show on Facebook or you don't take a look at it any other way, you really should, because this is going through the fishbowl in Waukesha, right at 217 Wisconsin Avenue, right downtown Waukesha, WAUK's headquarters here, is going through a massive transformation, not only visually. The engineers have done such a fantastic job, but we're getting better sound quality, and Civic Media is really stepping up to the plate. So that's what you've been working on all week, isn't it, Anastasia? I think you need a day off. That's what I think.
I would love that, but the radio never stops. Also, well, I didn't really do anything for the studio build. It was all our guys. It was Drew and Brian and Chris and Corey. Oh, my goodness.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks. Big thanks to them, because I have to tell you,
This show, Raised in Wisco, is growing by leaps and bounds across the state on the civic media stations. There's 13 stations we're on right now, which is incredibly exciting. And I think what that tells me, Anastasia, is that people want to hear this content. They want to know how to best use the outdoors of Wisconsin, how to participate in conservation, and how to make that kind of part of their lives. And that is an important message. We talk about foraging to table, harvesting to table, food to table, all the activities in the outdoors of Wisconsin. And it is really the reason you live in a hidden gem state like this. You know, did I tell you the exciting news about the fowl life? Have I told you that?
I don't think you have.
Well, I am so excited because if you're a listener, if you follow what we do at all, you know that I'm the Midwest host of the Fowl Life, which airs on the Outdoor Channel, which is really exciting. The Fowl Life is now the official show of the Department of Tourism Travel Wisconsin.
Wow. Oh, my goodness. When did this happen?
This just came to fruition within the last week.
Incredible.
And it leads to our guest today is going to be able to share his thoughts on that. And I'm super excited about that. Our guest is Michael Pirates. Michael, you and I have known each other for probably 3 decades.
That goes back to WISN when you were over at Channel 12 and I was on the radio side.
Yeah, that's right. So we started our careers in the Milwaukee media market together. And what blows my mind is how parallel our careers have been. We both started at WISN. You were on the radio side. I was on the TV side. And we worked at those jobs for a while. And then we both ended up in politics. Where did you go from there? Because your career line is almost as wacky as mine.
It's a tough one to follow. I went from WISN over to WTMJ, was a show producer over there, was fortunate enough to work with some truly amazing people. Charlie Sykes being the person that really was instrumental in bringing me over there when he jumped from ISN over to TMJ. Spent some time there. I spent a decade doing sales and marketing for an industrial service company. Paralleling that, I was also doing game day operations for your Milwaukee Admirals. So I had some great fun with the hockey. And then at that point, got connected through Scott Jensen and some of his staff, was hired by Jeff Stone, worked with Roger Roth, and then recently went back and was working in the Senate for the Majority Leader's Office, Devin LeMahieu. And in between that, I spent a decade talking about orange barrels on the roadway as the spokesperson for the DOT here in the Southeast region.
Oh, I remember those days because I'm going to tell you a funny story. I don't know if you remember. Was Gottlieb the secretary at the time? Yeah, Mark Gottlieb. I was a state representative, sat next to Mark Gottlieb, and one thing we both had in common was our love for show tunes. Now that, yep, I see Anastasia in there wincing.
All right.
You didn't expect that, did you?
I really, really wasn't, no.
I'm going to forego singing the show tunes. Maybe I'll bring my daughter in sometime. She's 1,000 times better than me. But one of the fascinating things was that Mark Gottlieb and I were both in leadership of the Wisconsin State Assembly at the time. And we sat next to each other and would literally quiz each other on trivia over show tunes. And then he became the secretary of the DOT. And then I became the chairman of the Natural Resources Committee. So one of the things that was very important to me, and Pirates, you got to give me some information on this because I never understood it. We had a Republican in charge of the DOT, and the DOT ponds that are on DOT property, which is public land, part of the public trust, in my opinion, Mark Gottlieb never went along with allowing hunting of those ponds, and those are just stacked with waterfowl. Do you know why? I mean, now you're far enough away from it. You can spill it all. Tell me the controversy. Tell me the conspiracy theory that Mark Gottlieb would not allow the hunting of the DOT ponds.
You'd have to ask Mark that. He can certainly speak for himself there. I am not certain why that's the case. I mean, certainly from the DOT perspective, having hunting near a roadway, especially with...
Oh, for God's sake, the law says 17 yards off the center line. These are huntable areas way more than 17 yards off the center line. That at least I know. But you did a great job as a spokesman for that. And so what fascinates me about your career is kind of the parallel careers that we have had. You know, we've done media, Then we went into politics. And for some odd reason, our parallel paths, if there is a matrix out there, if we are living in a simulation and this isn't real life, whoever drew the character for Michael Pirates and me drew them fairly similarly. I'm saying, I'm talking middle-aged, extremely handsome men who love the outdoors, have politics in their background, and are thriving by hoping that the people of this state get to understand how important the outdoors are to them.
Having daughters as well.
And we both have daughters. Man, that's, how old are your kids?
The one just turned 21, so she's going on 30. And the other is 23.
Okay, so I've got 20 and 17. So they're even almost close in age there. How did you, because I'm, this is called burying the lead, but it's also called a tease in radio or media terms. I've kind of saved the part about Michael I want to talk about, and that is he is a bass fisherman extraordinaire in the state of Wisconsin. He's also a hunter, but he really focuses on bass fishing, and that's one of the things we're going to talk about. And additionally, Matt Wilkie, who's one of the greatest goose hunters I know in this entire state, is going to be joining us at the bottom of the hour. So we're gonna talk with him coming up as well. I was up at 3 o'clock this morning to drive to the Sheboygan area this morning to hunt geese in the middle of a freshly manure spread field, which is always a treat.
Could have been 80 degrees.
You know, it could have been 80 degrees. That's, and it was not, it was like 48 this morning. It was unbelievably beautiful. Great sunrise, a river flowing next to the field we were hunting. It was just beautiful. And I have to tell you one of the here's a wacky thing. This is what your brain does to you. When I smell manure now, that makes me excited. Do you think many people get excited smelling manure?
Farmers and hunters.
Farmers and hunters.
That's about
it. When I smell manure, I think to myself, that means I'm probably going to be on a farm and probably going to hunt somewhere. And you know, a lot of the animals, as gross as this sounds, like to pick at that manure, Michael Pirates.
It's information you need to know, I guess.
Well, it is if you're trying to scout geese and ducks. That is for sure. So how did you make the transition? I shouldn't say make the transition. But I think a lot of people believe or feel like people who spend a lot of time in politics or media, they don't have the time to put into the outdoors the way many of us have this relationship with the outdoors. How did that happen for you?
I think it was just sort of the passion early on. My dad very much showed me the way. He loved fishing. We'd go down to Lake Michigan. I mean, that was back in the 70s with those alewife die-offs and everything. So really not a prime time to be fishing government pier, but we'd go down there, catch perch, catch some small trout. We had a place on Big Cedar Lake just outside of West Bend until I was about 10 years old. So once again, perch fishing and just, you know, kind of nibbling at the ice fishing for pike and bass and everything. That kind of got it going. So it just started that passion that's kind of taken hold and guided me through, you know, the rest of my life. And then fortunately, I've been able to meet a lot of just amazing people. You and I have some mutual friends. I mean, how many times have you and I seen each other out in Okachi when the crappie are running in spring? But like Dan Bravarni.
Fantastic guy. Revolutionized sport fishing in Wisconsin.
Very much helped out with the culling law.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that when we come back from break, because we're already up against the break, everybody. And I want to pay tribute to Jimmy Buffett, because Jimmy Buffett made a point not only in his life, but in his music to make sure that people were a part of the outdoors as well. So let's have Jimmy Buffett take us to the break.
Just takes a while. Mother, Mother Ocean, after all the years I've found, my occupational hazard be, my occupation's just not around. I feel like I drown, gonna hit a town. I feel like I drown, gonna hit a
bandana, check. Boots, check. Gloves? Check. As a motorcycle rider in Wisconsin, you may go to great lengths to protect your image. Just be sure you're protecting yourself, too. Wear a Department of Transportation-approved helmet. Perform safety checks on your motorcycle. Know the traffic laws and don't take risks. Motorists and motorcyclists can work together to achieve zero preventable deaths on Wisconsin roads. Zero in Wisconsin. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
Jelly. Jelly adjective. Jelly is a shorter, better way to say jealous. As in, Chloe, I am like so jelly of your unicorn phone case.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
When you're high, you feel different. You think different, you talk different, you draw different, you listen to music different, but you probably knew that. Problem is, you also drive different, and not in a good way. That's why driving high is illegal everywhere. So if you're high, just don't drive. Make a plan to get a sober ride. Because if you feel different, you drive different. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
Your home for local news, weather, and sports across the airwaves and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
93.5, The Tap.
My garden is filled with papayas and mangoes. My life is
Boy, I tell you what, that guy knew how to live, didn't he? Jimmy Buffett, honoring the life of one of the greatest musicians to gather people of all philosophies, all sorts, and put them together with their hands above their heads in the shape of a shark fin and get them rocking out and enjoying life. And he sure loved to utilize the outdoors. Spent a lot of time on boats, spent a lot of time fishing, had a restaurant that served game from the ocean. In fact, Anastasia, during the break, you were telling me something interesting about the lionfish he served.
Yeah, so down in the Keys, I guess the lionfish is very invasive. And even when you do kill it, they just don't have a lot of meat on them. But Jimmy Buffett's company used to go ahead and try to spearfish them and round them up to get them out of the waters. And even though they're a pain to bone just for how little meat you get out of them, they tried to put it to use, and you could eat lionfish.
Yeah, that's
so you were contributing
cool.
to getting rid of an invasive species, and you got to have some delicious, well, maybe not delicious, but he did his best with it. Fish.
You know what? I actually, that reminds me of, so I, you know that I try to eat everything we kill, right? And when they do the carp tournaments, a lot of that is to get a lot of the carp out because the carp will eat the spawn and eggs of the other game fish and the other native fish that we're trying to preserve. But I actually, a while back, the Jewish Community Center, met some of the older ladies there, and they make gefilte fish still, which is made from carp.
It is, yeah.
So and in Europe, they mm-hmm. serve carp as a delicacy. And I'm telling you, if you fillet it above the mud line, it tastes delicious like a white fish, but we've got some kind of social moray against it. Who knows? Before the break, we were talking about Dan Brivarney and really the fishing revolution that the state of Wisconsin has gone through. Michael, first off, tell me, how did you get into fishing? Why did it become such a huge part of your life in tournament angling, and how it has changed from when you started to now?
Yeah, I started very rudimentary. And I mean, this is one thing I want to encourage anybody who's younger, who's listening, who maybe doesn't do tournaments or is afraid of it. I would go out and with a buddy of mine, and we'd fish the Tuesday night tournament on Lake Beulah. And I had a 14-foot tin Alumacraft with a little 30 horse tiller on it. And we actually converted a cooler.
Hooked into a live well.
Yeah, hooked up a battery with a little aerator on it so we could actually legally keep the fish. And that's how we got into tournament fishing. Well, as that would progress, then all of a sudden one of my buddies picked up a nice, you know, Mr. Lund. Well, now we had a nicer boat with some electronics, and it just kind of kept growing from there. And just through a person that I worked with at that industrial service company, he actually was involved with Amelia's Anglers, which was a sponsor for this group for the best tournaments, club tournaments. They invited me on, and at that point, the amount that I learned and the amount that I've been able to teach new people what to do with, whether it's swim jigs or slap fishing, on whether it's Mississippi or like next week, the state tournament up at on Chippewa Flowage, you know, a lot of stuff going on, learning how to drop shot up on Sturgeon Bay. It was amazing how much that came, and just, you just keep going and going and going and learning more and more.
Yeah. And I have to tell you, so one of the first acts that I ever worked on, one of the first things I ever worked on as a state representative in 2005, I think. So we're talking almost 20 years ago already. The BASS, the Bass Tournament Anglers Association, or no, WABTA and BASS came to me and said, Wisconsin's losing millions of dollars on the bass fishing circuit. And this was, you know, I loved to bass fish in my free time. I actually entered the Muskie Mike's tournament out there
every
in Okochee on Tuesday nights. I know you've been in that tournament before.
Yes, indeed.
So shout out to Muskie Mike's, and shout out to one of the first people who ever got me into fishing, and that was Muskie Mike himself. He passed a while ago, but his tradition continues in the Muskie Mike's Tuesday Night League. The Nicholas family runs that now. But get into one of these local tournaments. You don't have to know Jack. And I'm going to tell you what, I was out there in a little, my father-in-law, rest his soul, I was out there in his 11-foot Alumacraft with a 20-horse Johnson on the back, flipping Yamamoto Senkos, little stick baits, under piers. And one of the tournaments I was in, I actually won. Because it's a big fish tournament. There's not a, you know, you don't have to worry. It's one fish, big fish tournament. And if you are afraid to do it, I'm going to tell you the camaraderie after, go to the local bar, have a few pops and have, you know, some of the food. It's a really great way to get yourself introduced to the outdoors of Wisconsin. And it's a really exciting, and you never know what's going to happen, especially with those one fish tournaments.
Yeah, I mean, anything can pop. Like you said, it doesn't take much. You just cast the right lure under the right dock, and all of a sudden you've got yourself a 3.5-pound bass, and next thing you know, you're paying for your night and a round of beers in the bar.
That's right.
But the nice thing with that is a lot of, and you have to get to know the people a little bit, but they generally recognize the beginning fishermen. And they're much more apt to help them out, offer suggestions, whether it's color or type of a lure. You know, for the longest time, you know, I never used a bait caster, which now I can't even imagine.
I still don't use a bait caster. Those rat's nest makers. I'm telling you, man, those things are they're tricky. But then people just say, well, you just don't know how to do it. And that's a fact.
Yep. And then what you have to do is find somebody that can show you the ins and outs of how to use that. And all of a sudden it is a whole,
it's a game changer. That's what everyone says. But I got pretty good at throwing my spin caster where I wanted it to go. So make sure to get out there. Rob Sherper listens from time to time to the show. And if he's listening out there, that guy, he's won many of those tournaments out there.
Oh, yes.
We're going to leave it to Jimmy Buffett. When we come back, we're going to have Matt Wilkie talking about goose hunting, which the early season ends 5 per person per day. We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
The ship is tied to my tree. Love is a way of building to a crescendo. Ride if you will, ride it with me. Sing if you will. Sing to the sea.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News brief, Republican presidential candidate Mike Pence says striking auto workers just might have a point. He spoke on CNN.
The Green New Deal that, you know, that was passed under the guise of an Inflation Reduction Act, mm-hmm. we're seeing it driving their industry into electric vehicles, benefiting China that makes most of our batteries. And I think they're pushing back rightly.
Atlantic Storm Lee has mostly moved out of New England, but could still pack a punch, says Eric Blake at the National Hurricane Center.
There are still some damage potentially from strong winds causing isolated power outages, along with some coastal flooding.
In the eastern Libyan city of Derna, catastrophic flooding this week killed more than 11,000 people. The BBC's Anna Foster is there.
You can see now this scar on the landscape where buildings once stood, people once lived, and there's nothing left.
Thousands of people are still missing. CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Buck Tussle has been providing high-speed internet to rural Wisconsin before it was cool. Now we're celebrating the company and the bug that started it all. In honor of our mascot, Buford's birthday, and the anniversary of our company, we are giving new customers free service until 2024, and five current customers will win $1,000 each. For more details and to get Buck Tussle internet today, call 877-227-0924. That's 877-227-0924.
RPG came through the belly of the aircraft. We don't talk about the female combat wounded. These are our daughters and our sisters and our mothers. Wounded Warrior Project came into my life and taught me how to stand back up and get back in the fight. The truth is, I think we all have this strength inside of us, but until you're tested, you just don't know what's there.
See how Wounded Warrior Project empowers women veterans like Beth by visiting woundedwarriorproject.org/empowerwomenvets.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
All of these things consistently come down to this: willingness of people to give up their agency and the willingness of Donald Trump and those who support him to leverage and abuse people's trust in them to further their own personal power and enrichment.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weeknights at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
100 degrees.
Ramaswamy literally said global climate change, human effect climate change, is a hoax.
Ron DeSantis effectively pivoted on the debate stage, said, I'm not going to answer your damn question because it will expose us as climate change denialists, which puts them in a minority, certainly with younger voters. Young people care about the future of this world, though.
The Devil's Advocates Radio Show.
Weekday afternoons from 4 until 6
on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Radio keeps your community informed, entertained, and connected. It's what we're all about at the Civic Media Network of local radio stations.
We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin.
This includes a commitment to news.
Now we want to invite you to join Civic Media's exclusive Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News. It's a place to share your community's news and chat with others from across the state about it.
Join the Facebook group, Wisconsin Breaking News, today. It's the perfect companion to your local Civic Media radio station. As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
He opens his mouth, but the words won't come out. He's joking how. Everybody's joking now.
The Vec.
Ramaswamy.
Cease and desist. Who would be worse? Mike Pence. I mean, Ron DeSantis trying to rap also would be wildly cringy.
Ron DeSantis trying to feel feelings is weird enough. I couldn't imagine him rapping.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Drop feeling. We're just treading water.
Welcome back to Raised in Wisco on 540 AM WAUK 101 FM, the Shaw, and throughout the state on 13 stations in every major market on the Civic Media stations. We got a great guest right now calling in from, you know, we used to call it up north when I was a kid, when we traveled to the Sheboygan area, but it's not really up north. Not really up north in Wisconsin. It can take you 6 hours to get real up north. Matt Wilkie, expert on all things long neck, the goose, the Tostito feet. I'm telling you what, this guy, you know, I've got these bands on my lanyard from geese, and I've got 11. And I've worked my tail end off getting these 11 bands on my
Lanyard. Matt Wilkie was showing me. Yeah, we got you, brother.
Good.
We got you.
A little hard to hear you.
Well, I'll tell you what. What blows my mind, Matt, is that you are the master of all things goose hunting up north. How do you do it, and what's your secret? Have we got you, Matt? Anastasia, is Matt there? Can he hear me? I don't know if Matt can hear. Can you hear me, Matt?
He might be taking that secret thing a little
too serious. I think he's taking the secret thing very seriously. Have you got, can you hear me, Matt? Matt Wilkie, can you hear me? Well, it appears. Now, I know we had some engineering done this past week, but he can't hear me. So I'm going to get back with you, Matt, if you can hear me on the air. But we appreciate you calling in. We're working out some kinks here because we have an entirely new studio. But what I was going to talk to Matt about, Michael Pirates is joining us, an extensive bass, professional bass fisherman, many, many years in government. One of the things that I was going to talk to you about before we went into the break is that in the state of Wisconsin, you were not allowed to cull in bass tournaments. Explain to people what that means. You cannot cull in a bass tournament in Wisconsin prior to 2005.
Right. So Wisconsin, you have a limit of number of fish that you can catch. And for bass, it was five. So once you caught five fish, you were done. And if you're doing a tournament and you catch five small fish, you know, then you have to make the determination with that last fish, whether to just put them right back in the water or put them in your live well. And once he's in the live well, you're done. And it becomes very difficult to actually host. I mean, you will not get the professional, the bass tournaments, the various different tournaments that you see on TV on Saturday mornings. They wouldn't come to Wisconsin because you couldn't cull. So they stopped coming here. So that was hundreds of fishermen that would come, all their support staff, all their families.
Hundreds of thousands, yeah. Millions of dollars.
Millions of dollars. You know, the number of hotel rooms that would be booked. Not to mention just, you know, when they're fishing on the Mississippi or Sturgeon Bay and people are seeing them catching these 5 and 6 and 7 pound smallmouth. I mean, people want to come to Wisconsin and fish there if they see that. But until that law passed that you were helped get through, they weren't coming to Wisconsin. So now that they are, now that you can cull, the tournament fishing circuit has exploded. I mean, high schools, colleges, professional levels, and then, you know, weekend warriors like myself who are getting out there. And the bass, you know, like this year's state tournament is up on the Chippewa Flowage next weekend. So, you know, looking forward to that already. Without being able to call, it would be a very strange event.
Well, I just remember being a bass fisherman, you know, a part-time bass fisherman, just for enjoyment. And doing a couple little small tournaments and just really enjoying being out on the water. Dan Bravarni came to me and he said, Joel, we have a massive problem in Wisconsin that's costing the state millions of dollars. You cannot exchange a fish in your live well for another fish during a tournament in Wisconsin. But you can on all the other states that border the Mississippi. So all the other states were getting these massive tournaments and Wisconsin was not. So I wrote a bill at the time allowing culling, and we did get a pass. Governor Walker signed it into law almost 20 years ago now. And I remember the first year we allowed culling, we had such an impressive influx of bass tournaments that the state made like $4.6 million in tourism money that one year because people were flooding the tournaments, the national tournaments were flooding to Wisconsin. People were excited about fishing the Wisconsin side of the Mississippi. Pool 9, baby.
Yep,
I know all about it. And that kind of revolutionized bass fishing, tournament fishing in Wisconsin, didn't it?
Oh, very much so. I mean, if you look at Door County, I mean, that actually at one point, based on the strength of the tournaments there, was ranked as the number one spot to bass fish in the United States.
Wow.
It beat all those huge lakes down in Florida and Texas and everything else. It was number one, and it's still always been up in the top 10. Given this fishing that's up there, it's incredible. That never would have been seen by the nation, you know, had it not been for these tournaments, being able to come to Wisconsin and actually host the tournament the way they're supposed to. Same with the walleye. You know, that's a huge thing on, like, Winnebago. A lot of other areas across the state, and, you know, obviously you're not calling muskie, but, you know, the muskie tournaments have kind of got that same bump by having Wisconsin improve its, you know, its capabilities and then hosting these tournaments and having areas that know how to host them. You know, if you go up around Eagle River and stuff, or, you know, Chippewa Flowage is another area where these tournaments take place, it's incredible when you see these, you know, $100,000 boats with $100,000 worth of rods and reels and lures that are heading up there that never would have been coming to Wisconsin had this not occurred.
Not to mention electronics. I want to talk to you about electronics. Has bass fishing gotten so technical? I mean, look, the kids today, you hear me cry about this all the time. The kids today are so addicted to their 3-inch by 7-inch two-dimensional screen that they're missing out in life in three dimensions. Has fishing and tournament fishing become so technically advanced that it almost shuns people who want to get into it because they feel like, I don't have forward-facing radar. I don't have depth finders that are telling me where to throw the lure in front of the fish's face. Have we gone too far and taken the element of naturalism out of fishing?
I'm sort of torn on that. I don't have high-end electronics on my bass boat. Some of the people that I fish with, they do have those. Recently, we had a tournament up in the Crandon area on my own home lake, or what I call my home lake now. I didn't win the tournament.
But, Michael, you know, they've got these, they send out a beam out the front of your boat now, and it tells you where the fish are, and you can watch your line cast it in front of their face.
Yes, it's video game fishing. And if you do look on the water, you can always tell because, quite honestly, a lot of the bass fishermen now look like my kids do, where their heads like looking down and they're staring at the screen and they don't look up. They just wait.
I mean, this isn't just deep weed edges and contour and docks anymore.
No, this is spotting a fish next to a rock and seeing it swim at your lure. But like we talked about before, it shouldn't discourage you from fishing because, like you said, all you need is one rod, a plastic worm, and you skip it under the right dock. And guess what? There's a bass for you.
Yeah. And I guess that's the message that I hope that comes out of it is that I think if you haven't experienced fishing or hunting or kayaking or mountain climbing or hiking Devil's Lake, if you haven't experienced that, please do not be intimidated by trying it. Part of the problem with all these technological advances, and they are in hunting too. I mean, 95% let off, digital range finders on compound bows, crossbows that are shooting 100 feet, you know, or 100 feet per second, 400 feet per second with digital scopes on them. I think what has happened is that has increased the intimidation level of getting started in the outdoors, and that is part of the reason we're seeing declining numbers. That's what really worries me.
I very much agree, and when it comes to fishing in that way, you know, it is, you look at that, and it is very daunting, but when you're fishing for fun, you know, that those are tournament guys, or those are guys who have the ability, you know, like we were talking about, I mean, everybody's so busy. And if that allows them to go on the water and catch 20 fish one afternoon when maybe they only would have caught two otherwise, you know, okay, that's their entertainment. That's the way to make being in the outdoors, being on the water, that much better. And same with the hunting. You know, if you're able to get a deer when maybe you wouldn't have been able to get a deer because you don't have the ability to really get out there and get the experience that you need to progress with that, but it still gives you that experience. You know, when it's used like that, I can see and I support it, but it does, and I agree, it makes it seem so scary because that's every ad that they see. Nobody shows a $19 rod and reel combo with some 6-pound mono on it and, you know, a hook. They don't show that.
And, you know, I was on my way into the studio today talking to my buddy Ian Kittrell. He's one of my top dudes I hunt with, one of my best hunting buddies. If I go to a field, he's usually with me. If he goes to a field, I'm usually with him. And I was talking about something that I think is detrimental to the sport. And again, it's this social media. And I'm going to tell you, he'll say something to me like, and it drives me nuts because these young kids, and I'm putting Ian in this category, they compare themselves to everybody now. Everything's a comparison. But what they don't realize is that everything they're seeing, they're only seeing the highlights. All you see on social media is the highlight reel. Went past a church the other day, the marquee said on it, "May your life be half as good as it appears on Facebook," right? And so I remind these guys, You're not seeing the 20 people who went out and hunted and didn't do well, didn't kill a bunch of geese or ducks, because they're not posting it on social media. All you're seeing is a barrage of the people who had success that day, and you start measuring your success based on what you're seeing. And I think that is an extreme detriment as well. And I think that even, I'll take that even a step farther. I think kids in high school are seeing only the kids who are at the party, having a great time, and they think they're the only ones at home with their parents on a Friday night, when in fact, the majority of kids are home with their parents on a Friday night, and all they're seeing is the ones who are, quote, partying or having a great time. I think that happens in every aspect of entertainment, in every aspect of society, in every aspect of hobbies. I get sucked into it. I'm not a big social media guy, but I get sucked into it. Oh, this guy, I saw he had a successful hunt. I didn't have a successful hunt. Everybody's having a successful hunt or fishing trip or party except me, when in reality, we're guilty of making other people feel that way, even though half the time we're sitting at home.
Well, I can't disagree with that. I know how much time they spend checking out videos and everything else, but I'm still kind of hopeful, to be honest with you. I've seen a lot of kids fishing off the dock when I'm landing my boat, and you know what? I'll turn around when I'm done, you know, getting my boat on the trailer, and I'll give them the lure that I was using and say, "Hey, cast over there and see them maybe get a pike or maybe get a bass or something." I mean, not even a big one, even a rock bass or something, just to see them do that. And I see enough kids out there doing that, and I guess that's incumbent on us and others who would be listening who are in a position to do so. Help them out.
I'm telling you, Michael, this is why it is not only enjoyable, but it is part of our obligation as people who utilize the outdoors frequently to grab those children metaphorically by the shoulders and say to them, life exists in three dimensions. Get out there and experience it yourself. Leave the phone in the house. Or set the phone on a bench and take a picture with it when you catch something, or take a picture of it when you catch nothing with the sunset behind you. Because I think it's going to keep going in this direction. This drives me batty. I think it's going to keep going in the direction, because the more we stare at these little devil pods in our hands, the worse it's going to be for getting people to try new things. And there is hope. I'm not trying to be hopeless here. There is hope, because I am telling you, the number one thing I spend my time doing is taking new people hunting and fishing.
Yeah.
I hunt the heck out of geese, and I love waterfowl hunting. And I know some friends are going to have spots for great waterfowl hunts this Sunday, but I am not going. Because I have two people from the Capitol, in fact, I have five turkey fans hanging in the Capitol from people I've taken turkey hunting. I'm taking new hunters out, and it is incumbent upon people like you and me to get people out there to try it for the first time in their life.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you know, if you have a friend who maybe doesn't fish, but it has some kids that maybe want to try it, invite them out. You know, when I take people out, I always laugh. I mean, I double the value of my vehicle because of all the rods and reels and everything else in there. But I mean, I'll teach them how to use the rod. I'll teach them how to cast a lure. I mean, drop shotting is really easy.
It's easy.
You know, and
it's a matter of having someone drag you by the collar and show you the first time. We're going to go into this break with a little more Jimmy Buffett in his memory, a guy who was influential in getting a lot of people to go outside.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be right back on Raised in Wisco.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Brock.
I didn't realize that Tucker Carlson's like hemorrhaging viewers. And I heard yesterday someone was like, oh yeah, like no one's actually watching it anymore. I was like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really surprise me. It's kind of like Threads.
it was a thing for about five
like a
minutes.
Week. Everyone was excited and then they moved on.
Well, it's like Scott Walker's presidential campaign. It's a big deal for about a week.
As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bry. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Talking to your kids about the dangers of vaping can be hard. Getting them to listen to hot gossip is easy. So here's some drama you could share with your kid. Dude, did you hear about Cassie and Jake? No, but did you hear that vaping can cause irreversible lung damage and nicotine affects brain development? Nuh-uh. You don't need to gossip if you want to have an open conversation about vaping. So if you want to get tips on when and how to talk to your kids, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
Two kinds of politicians, those who want to be and those who want to do. Tommy Thompson, John McCain, I would put Tony Evers in this category. They're guys who are running because there were things that they wanted to do.
The Todd Alba Show.
Now contrast that to Hillary Clinton, I would argue, or Donald Trump. Sure, there are things they want to do, but ultimately, they are like Scott Walker. They were people who want to be.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Looking for more local programming? Check out our website, civicmedia.us, to see our entire lineup.
I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently,
this morning, I shot 6 holes in my freezer.
Welcome back to Raise New Wisco. I'm your host, Joel Clayfish. Danielle Fairman had to work digging the ground tonight, so she'll be back with us next week for her exciting return. And I hope she'll have stories of deer hunting and turkey hunting. So the way the goose season's set up in Wisconsin is that you get 15 days to kill 5 per person per day. And that's really to kind of cut down the numbers of the local geese. And then when that is over, it starts the all-out free-for-all, which is very fitting that that is a Ted Nugent song. That's a Ted Nugent song, isn't it? Free-for-all?
Yes, free-for-all is.
Yeah. So it's very fitting because deer hunting starts on Saturday. Turkey hunting starts on Saturday. Goose hunting continues on Saturday. The regular season, and then following that comes duck season. I drew a bobcat tag this year.
Nice.
Oh, I cannot wait. I'm so excited to go up with my buddy, Senator Rob Stavsholt. I got my first Wisconsin bear with him, and I am really jacked. I did draw a bobcat tag before, and I waited. It took me 10 years, and this one only took me 3. And I got the draw, which is very rare, but I'm very excited about it. But we did not get one. We chased a bobcat around, but there was no snow on the ground, so it made it real tough to do that. But no, I'm super jacked about this fall and the bobcat season. Michael Pirates is joining us. And, okay, we got Jimmy Buffett, and you buried one of the leads and told me you worked on a shrimp boat?
Yeah, I have.
That's hell, isn't it?
It was one of the coolest things I've ever done. I was in high school, and that's how my dad was going to tough me up, send me down to Newport Richey, which is just north of Tampa, and his old Army sergeant, him and his sons,
so
ran
wait
a shrimp
minute.
Boat.
Not only is it bad enough that you're going to go work on a shrimp boat, which just gives me all these flooding back feelings of Forrest Gump and Bubba.
Yeah. I was going to say, was it Bubba Gump that you worked for, Mr. Pirates? I'm very shocked from the board.
It was Mr. Schultz and his sons, Michael and Ed.
So Bubba was a shrimp boat captain.
He can fix a lots of different ways.
Yeah, that's right. You know, I think I actually have fixed shrimp the way Bubba had suggested it, I think. Anastasia.
All of them? All the ways
he
suggested it?
Well, no, I mean some of the ways.
He goes on for quite a lot.
He does.
While, so.
He goes on for almost as long as Forrest Gump runs. The two issues I have with that movie were that the running portion is too long, and then The other portion is not mentionable on the air. But the running part, for the record, Anastasia is laughing in the studio. But I have a trivia question for the two of you. That movie won the Academy Award during that year. Do you know the movie that I think should have won? It was nominated but didn't win that year. Any guesses?
I do not have a guess.
I can't think of
it. And I'm going to say the movie I'm going to tell you definitely has had as much longevity as Forrest Gump, if not more. Shawshank Redemption was up for the Oscar that year, and Forrest Gump actually won it. I'm not going to say whether one's a better movie or not, but I probably would have voted for
it. Great year for film, too. It really was good great. Films.
Boy, we need a good year for film again. We haven't had one in a long time.
We really do.
Holy cow. It's struggling.
See, I think there's a lot more lines from Forrest Gump. I'm just saying.
Oh, there's a ton of lines from Forrest Gump. There's no doubt. I don't know. Old Andy Dufresne. That was a great movie, too, though.
That was a fantastic movie.
I got to say. Let me ask you, though. So you worked on a shrimp boat.
Yes.
And did you get seasick ever?
That's where I found out. I don't get seasick. I've got great sea legs. However, I did find out that after you're out all night in rough conditions, pulling the trawler and everything, when you jump on shore and take a few steps, everything goes kittywampus on you. And, well, your insides kind of head for the outsides.
But dizziness too? Like, did you fall over? I've heard people say it feels like they've been spun around 15 times and they can't walk straight.
I have a hard time describing it. It was like every system in my body just had to reset.
Oh, so let's for the sake of radio say your constitution had to be reinstitutionalized.
Everything from the waist up had its own zip code at that point.
Had a mind of its own. Well, but I'm sure it must have been an awesome experience. I mean, what a cool thing. Did you eat a lot of shrimp?
No. That was how they made their money. You don't go be eating profits. You kind of make sure it gets through. The thing that was most scary about it is you pull up a lot more than shrimp.
Really?
I mean, the stuff that's in
like
there.
Like what?
Like snakes, and then there's a...
Snakes?
Yeah.
Out of the ocean?
Yes.
Not eels, snakes.
Snakes. And then there's, I think there were some eels too. Then there's like these little urchins.
The hair
things.
On my arm is standing up. Urchins.
Oh,
okay.
Man, I made sure I had some pretty thick boots on because when I saw those guys jumping out of the way, I knew there was something bad happening. And so, I mean, there was stuff
like
bring
poisonous
up
snakes. Yeah. And urchins.
All sorts of just fish or
wow,
other
that's
items.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So, well, watching them sort through it,
no
I'm like,
thanks. That's a big nope for me. Yeah. No, thank you. I do love eating shrimp though. Well, food is my favorite dish, Anastasia. Yep. You know, if I wish the audience could hear how much you laugh, because I'm going to tell you something. From when we started to now, you laugh a lot more. And that.
Well, it's, what do they call it? Stockholm Syndrome?
Oh, that's the nicest thing anyone said to me all week, Anastasia.
I try.
Stockholm. She's starting to relate to the hostage taker.
I yes. am, yeah. No, the hostage, the kept the, hostage. The, I'm no, no hostage taker.
No, no, I'm saying me. You're starting to relate to me as the hostage taker.
You have our empathies.
You know, the guy who started that, that's a different subject for a different show because we're already running out of time and what a fun show it has been. I want to talk finally with you, Michael. You've spent a lot of time in the outdoors. You've had crazy adventures, like enough to write a book for real. And that's then you true. Spend time in government. How important is it for the average citizen who's involved and interested in the outdoors to have a relationship with the people in the building in Madison? Is that important or doesn't it matter? Because the most apathy that exists in the state is among people who use the outdoors. They don't vote in high numbers. They don't contact their legislators in high numbers. And they don't relate to the lawmakers, the things that are important to them. And that drives me crazy.
I'm with you there, because the worst part is you're sitting there around the campfire and they start cussing up a storm about how stupid the laws are. And then you ask, well, did you let them know you didn't support that or you did support something
else? Or did
else?
You even vote for the person who's making the laws?
Yeah, and then at that point you find out, nope, they didn't do anything about it. Well, if you didn't do anything about it, it's kind of hard to complain about it.
Yep. And on that note, get out there, contact your legislators, make sure to vote, get out, hunt, and fish. And enjoy the memory of Jimmy Buffett. We'll see you next week with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman on Raised in Wisco. Yes, and some.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media, I'm
you're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls. W2.